everybody, and welcome to Radio Radar, episode 126. I'm your host, the very sick Henry Gilbert, and I'm here with...
the very healthy Maxwell McGee.
I don't have any description for myself, but I'm Lorenzo Valoria.
The perpetually confused Jan Jones.
And the can't think of anything right now, Ashley Reed.
Jeez, you guys are not good at, like, spontaneous creativity.
No,
Jan was.
The very single Ashley Reed. Valentine's Day, woo! Yeah,
that's why writing's so much better. You get to, like, do it and then reiterate and then
like
do
the,
it again.
The,
you can be clever later. Yeah.
It's all like the stuff.
yeah. The words and such and whatnot, descriptions.
Well, it's Friday the 13th. That's what this episode really is. It's not about this being the week of love or anything. It's about bad luck, and that's today.
I was on the bus riding to work this morning. I saw another bus drive past me, and it had like little numbers on the front, and it was 666.
Whoa.
Friday the 13th. It's too real. It's too real.
What if you're the driver of that bus?
What?
Satan himself.
They could not have not done it on purpose. Like, you have to do that on purpose.
Has anybody ever watched a Friday the 13th film on Friday the 13th?
No, but that's a great idea.
Yeah, I bet it. I'm sure you'll find one on Amazon or something. But, oh, God, my throat is like freaking
Nobody use that mic.
I've been talking constantly for the last 3 days, more so than usual. Just on Wednesday, like, I had to explain 3DS things for about 30 minutes straight to people. And then we did the Spider-Man live stream on Thursday. And by the way, guys, look forward to a special live stream on Wednesday of Kirby and the Rainbow Curse. I'm just going to say it now.
Ooh.
And hey, we do live streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 3:30 p.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, I like how we were trying to tease that Kirby game. And then it ended up being, we could have just streamed it all along.
Yeah, I was playing it so safe on the stream of like, well, let's not say what the game is, but we'll have a special pre-release game on Wednesday. And then we find out, oh, we could have streamed it yesterday. Yeah. Like,
it'll be fun.
It will be fun.
Does it come with a wrap, though? Does it come with sort of a pseudo-wrap like Nightmare and Dreamland did?
Oh, no, nah, I don't think
Nightmare
so.
And Dreamland.
Oh, my God.
You don't remember that commercial?
Oh, boy. I have no... Did any other weird things happen this week? It's been a real quiet week, it felt like, this week.
We've had our
farewells
week of love. We've had our week of love going on, which really just turned into the week of sex.
It's been hilarious. It's so NSFW. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's been the most sexual week of love we've ever had. Of like, stories of like people who will do it with anything that moves.
Well, we've done all the cuddly features already, so... We can't just re-promote all those.
We as a site have come to a point in our lives where we've started to become like disillusioned with love. Like, it's all bullshit, man.
Our relationships with our video game characters has, you know, gone further. It's like evolved.
Well, now it's just about unemotional hookups. Yeah. This doesn't mean anything.
We're at that point in our lives.
And the God hand spank.
Oh, yes.
But the top seven this week was even week of love theme, and I'm going to lean on you, Ashley, to do a lot of the talking on this one. But it's the top seven ways games lie to you about love.
Yep, this one is actually about love, but about maybe the more unfortunate aspects of love, about how video games really try to give you that sense of a love story, but they put in all this stuff where it's like, that would not work in the real world even a tiny bit.
You seem to have soured a little on love yourself.
I'm bitter and single. I can't afford any cats right now, but one day, one day soon, so many cats.
One day I'll have all the cats in the world.
But yeah, actually, if you just take two people and throw them together and have them overcome some sort of adversity, surely they'll fall in love along the way.
Forever and ever and ever.
Forever and ever.
That's what they'd like you to think, but...
All right, well, so what was number seven on here?
The hard part is getting together. And I think there are probably a lot of people who can sympathize with this one because they've tried to get a date and it's gone horribly, horribly wrong, which I get. It's hard to get a date sometimes. But the actual relationship part is not easy because the first part was hard. Because in video games, it's like there's always something keeping them apart. It's some sort of war or alien invasion.
Fire-breathing dragon monster turtle
the
thing.
Apocalypse.
Something.
A guy with a hydrocephalic forehead.
Yeah, exactly. There's always something keeping them apart, and if they can just get past that, in the end they'll be together and everything will be great.
Well, it's a chase that's interesting. It's not being married and like just happy, just making a relationship work from day to day. Like, that's not very fun.
It's not.
I mean, digitally, it's not very fun. I'm not talking about in real life. Who knows?
But it's really not.
That's very true. But if you come at a relationship thinking that, you're going to run into trouble because you're not going to be able to handle the fact that, oh, well, we got into another argument about something small that we probably need to discuss. It's like, nope. The second is like, this wasn't how it was in Final Fantasy. Goodbye.
You cannot imagine like Cloud and Aerith or Cloud and Tifa saying like,
no, you couldn't.
Well, did you wash the dishes? I think it's your turn. Like, no. Or
did
or,
you leave the weapons out in the rain again?
Or what do you want for dinner? I don't care. No, you need to pick something. Whatever, I don't care.
I was just imagining a Mass Effect.
What's
like, if
wrong?
You were having an argument with your significant other, and then all the options are just you can only pick renegade options.
It's like, what's wrong? Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, they're all just nothing.
You wouldn't get it.
So that's one way. They don't really cover that aspect of the relationship.
I see that in movies, too. You ever notice that in films that have like a romantic storyline in it, then in the sequel, they have to like throw in some sort of complication because they just
they can't
like,
just be happy together.
Yeah,
that's
like
not entertaining.
Bridget Jones being married and happy is like boring. So.
And dealing with little problems, it's like, nah, that's dumb.
So in the second Bridget Jones movie, she gets arrested in a Thai prison. I was like, I think you've gone a little too silly here.
It's like Bridget we all
Jones.
Know that feeling.
Have you guys seen Renee Zellweger's face lately? It's weird.
It's
I don't mean look.
It's,
she can.
I'm not touching.
She
this.
Can get all the. She can get all the work done she wants. I'm just saying that she doesn't look like herself anymore. Like it's not. It's just weird. You see people. You know what? I'll let that golf stop.
Wait. You just feel like that's half of Hollywood, though. You know? Like,
yeah,
they go and change their lip.
Some just have
and then
better surgeons than others.
I guess it just
she
was
seems
like,
happy. That's what matters.
Yeah.
She's happy.
Yeah, and that is totally right. I'm not judging her by her looks, but I'm saying, like, say Nicole Kidman, she gets surgery to look more like Nicole Kidman, not to look like a different person, but Renee Zellweger's face just changed. Like, it's not better or worse. It's just a different. It's like going from vanilla to chocolate or something.
So my favorite is when they go real extreme and then they end up looking like a lioness.
I think Kenny Rogers.
Real catty.
Like, when did Kenny Rogers become Asian? Like, it's just weird.
They
can say that because I'm Asian. Because
they pull their skin back so much. It's just like, where'd your eyeballs go?
You know what? You know what really happened was aliens cloned them and replaced them, but the clone wasn't very well done, so we just had to say we got work done.
It's like Men in Black.
All right, number six.
It doesn't matter if you have nothing in common.
Oh.
So this kind of ties into the last one, which they have to struggle through something, and eventually they'll get together and it'll all be great. That, because they're struggling to get past something, that's kind of the focus of their entire relationship. So they don't actually share anything really besides this mutual struggle that they're dealing with. So the one that came to mind for me when I was writing this was Squall and Rinoa from Final Fantasy VIII. It's like, oh, yes, this beautiful love story. Do they actually share anything at all? Do they have any similar values or beliefs or favorite recipes or hobbies? Or do they have
their
anything in common
so,
at all?
Their love is so strong it conquers all that. Like,
it's like, who are you even? I guess it doesn't matter.
I know. Renoa wants to go out and party all night. Squall wants to sit at home and just mope.
It's all the superficial. They're just into the face or the bod.
Clearly
something.
So. And that's the thing, too, especially with these two. With those two, it's like, not only did they have nothing in common, they actually had attributes that clashed. So it's like, those two are screwed once they actually get into a real relationship. It's like, what are you even going to talk about?
I have more problems with, like, we have too much in common. Like, let's tell me something I don't know. That's my thought.
Really?
My boyfriend and I, if you've ever met him, we are not alike at all. We're kind of an odd couple. You know, he's kind of like heavy metal Bill, and I'm kind of prissy Jan. And it's kind of a nice, like, yin-yang thing going on.
But you do have things you can, like, talk about.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what I mean. Like, with these guys, it's like they would not even be on the same plane. Like, they don't have anything they would discuss.
Ashley, you're saying you think people from different cultures or classes.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You got me, Henry.
All right, number five.
Your soulmate can be bought.
With gifts.
With gifts and good deeds. Like this one I almost
plus five
feel
affection.
Yep.
This one I feel like is pretty egregious because I actually see with my eyes people trying to bring this idea into the real world and it's like, oh shit, no. So basically you got it down. It's like you buy gifts and you do good deeds and you like fill up a meter of affection, sim style.
Yeah.
And then eventually when that meter gets to 100, they'll fall in love with you and it'll be
right.
great.
This is real bad in Star Wars The Old Republic because you get a bunch of different companions, and to build up their relationship with you, you could either take them along with you, but like the leveling system isn't that where you could like level this guy up and then grab another person and then level them up. You could do really just choose one. So the rest, the way you level up the rest of them is you buy them gifts and you just give them all kinds of shit.
I'm like, trying to remember. I think it was Killscreen had an article maybe that was comparing women in video games to like this vending machine where you just keep putting in nice tokens until sex falls out. It's just like, if I just put in enough nice tokens, eventually I'll get what I want.
Then maybe my analogy, because I remember writing in that slide, like put coins into the vending machine and love will fall out. I'm like, damn, I thought that was so original.
Yeah, but no, my friend Joel used to play Fables, and he conquered this guy and made him his house husband. And he would go on these long quests, and like he would come back, and he would be gone so long, the guy would be mad at him, and he'd have like a whole bunch of like,
I'm gonna need some nice
loose
tokens.
Women like living in the house and giving him venereal disease, and then he'd have to like redecorate the house to make him happy. And I was like, oh good lord,
oh my god. And I mean, this isn't to say like it's a bad idea to give someone you like gifts or do nice things for them, but do it out of actual consideration, not just if I do this, they'll have sex with me.
It's not. I gave you this, and you owe me.
Well, that's why I hate those like every kiss begins with K. Like, no, I don't want your shitty like blood diamond jewelry to like make out with you. Like, come on.
Those commercials are all built on like a very old patriarchal idea of like, well, women hate sex, so you gotta bribe them for it. And diamonds are the best bribe there is.
They love shiny things.
But guys,
kind of like parakeet.
Every kiss does start with K because it's the letter. It's the letter
I get
coming.
It.
How you spell the word.
Also, diamonds are like kind of, they're more common than the diamond industry would want you to think, too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I remember, this is a bit of a tangent, but I remember one time we were discussing, when I was back in college, we were discussing blood diamonds and marriage and whatnot and how there was that interlink there.
Sounds like
and
a fun evening.
It was very interesting class. And one guy was like, well, you know, I think it's those countries' own fault for allowing that to happen. They should do something about their petition their government to make it stop. We all like stared at them. Like,
why don't
really?
They just leave and move to America?
Is he one of those like, let's just nuke all of them and let God figure it out?
Probably.
Those guys are
fine. Worded letter.
Those guys are
it's that he's that wasn't the only stupid comment that guy made. But
stupid
yeah.
comments in a college class. I've
Whoa.
Never heard of such a
Who would have thunk it?
Those are educated people. What are you talking about?
I do kind of wish first states came with like visible stats over their heads, though. That would be helpful.
Visible stat. Yeah. I mean, of course, that would actually be kind of nifty. But
why is called? I always try to go Dutch anyway on those things. It's just first dates anyway.
I'll make this quick.
No. Whoever asks pays. That's,
yeah.
Unless.
Oh, Henry, you've been doing it all wrong.
No, I mean that's the rule I go by. You know, whoever asks the person on the date, you know, you pay, and it doesn't have to be extravagant. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think.
But I guess they invited you to a thing.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah,
you know, so
that follows
being a good host.
Yeah, I mean, and if you feel strongly about you know your independence and whatnot and want to go Dutch and don't want to feel, you know, then you can offer, be like, hey, I can pay too, but for the most part, yeah, if you ask me out, you're paying.
You think that kills the romance too at the date of just like, oh wait, no, let's split this money. I'm thinking fiscally about this.
Yeah.
There is kind of a hint. I imagine there's a bit of a hint where it's like, oh, I'll pay, and then when you get there it's like, let's go Dutch. It's like, oh, so there's not gonna be a second date where you pay.
Why is
like,
it called Dutch? Are the Dutch just really cheap people?
Well, and that's our show, everybody. Thank you all for tuning in. Radio
offended
Radar.
So many people today already.
The Dutch,
I mean,
oh no.
Have a good weekend.
I mean, like, but why? I'm really curious.
I don't know. That's kind of like if somebody brought in their phone. Maybe you can Google it. But
I think it's the same reason
I'm
you
look
say
this up because it just doesn't sound like
you
going
do
Dutch would be.
It's kind of like when you say "pardon my French" after you've sworn at someone.
Number four.
You should flirt with everyone at the same time to make sure you end up with someone. I don't think I really need to describe why this is a bad
idea.
Play
in the field.
This comes up quite a bit. Like, I'm going to pick on BioWare because it's the most obvious in BioWare, but they're also kind of the best about it because they do show that, hey, I know you're kind of messing around with this other person, and that's bullshit, and I'm mad, but they never get to the point where they will actually just blow you off. They're like Miranda and Jack, like, having sexy cat fights for the rights to Shepard, and it's like, not quite.
Know, I was kind of bothered to find out that Jack didn't even swing both ways, that she was like, no, I'm not.
I was sad about that. Like, I'm not. There's just something about Jack. I don't know.
It's also just weird to see, like, oh, we're in outer space 300, 400 years in the future. But now, like, being gay is still kind of like the same as it is today. Like, or being queer or whatever.
It's like, wow, how depressing.
That some people hear that word and that's like, it's a bad word. But that was in the pro LGBT. Queer is the new good word.
They call them queer studies.
There's a long there's a long historical explanation for this, it is pretty derogatory.
Oh no.
it's about Spanish soldiers like attacking Holland and some of the soldiers went Dutch. They peaced out. So it is derogatory, and I don't think we should use this phrase anymore. I was just saying.
Oh, crap. Damn
it. So it comes from soldiers attacking the Dutch? Is this what I...
Anyhow, let's move on.
I'm going to have to read that.
Go look it up.
But yeah, if you flirted with every single person you met, like, that would... You wouldn't have a great reputation, I suppose. Or maybe everybody, like, if say, the BioWare was in real life, like, everybody would be just talking shit behind Shepard's back, like, you're that Shepard, he hits on everybody.
So
gross.
And I mean, obviously, this is, well, any of these, it's not going to be exactly 100% the case for everyone. But with four, what I envision is like a bunch of people who are like, fuck this, I'm not going to deal with that. And then a bunch of people who stick around because their self esteem is so low that they're just happy to be in the same room with Captain Shepard. So, Commander Shepard, whoops. But so there's it's not just those in a real situation, but you kind of are going to run into more of that than you're going to run into people being like, oh, yes, I'm going to fight you for Shepard.
But I've met one person who says that he made this statement, but I've heard other people have made it before, which was like, hey, walk up to a girl, say like, hey, let's have sex. $1.99, I'll tell you no, that one will say yes, and it's all worth it.
Yeah, never mind, I'm not even going to go there. Yeah.
But then if you follow Mass Effect's logic, then she'll never talk to you again. Thanks, Jack, you're cool.
But yeah, I always hate that. That's the good excuse. I've heard that used by gross people who are just like way too forward and like, hey man, if I just say it 100 times, once it'll happen, I know it. Like,
99% disapproval rating. Not bad odds.
I think it might be more like 99.9999999% with a 1% error margin. All right, number three.
Tell them exactly what they want to hear. So this might sound kind of counter to what some people might know.
About. Is this why they don't want?
If you just keep doing it, there's no problem.
Yeah, what's the problem?
Yeah, what's the problem?
What is the problem?
Just agree.
Number two. No, wait.
Hey, now.
Happy wife is a happy life.
Hey, there you go. Yeah.
But see, the problem with this one is more that it will cause you distress, as the gentlemen know. It'll cause you distress because you're sitting there and you're agreeing to everything they say. But what if the time comes when you're like, I maybe don't think I should kill this person who cut me off in traffic, and they're like, kill him! And it's like, what choice do I make here? Do I just agree and then suffer the consequences, or do I tell them no and set some boundaries in our relationship and show that we are equals? Which is going to be the better call
that
here?
That sounds like it's going to be a fight later, so I'd probably just probably just kill the guy.
Yeah, just kill
this top seven.
Wow.
It's getting intense, but this one's more about being happy in your own relationship and like setting your own boundaries.
Being a partner, not a lap dog, you know.
Real life.
Real talk on this side of the table. I don't know.
All right, number two.
I apologize for all the comments.
Get
for Maximum McGee and Learns of Boiler. We do not represent.
Get all your advice on matrimony from a gaming website. Hitting on them while they're down is a great idea. So when I first described this, some people were like, what are you even talking about?
When they're vulnerable.
When they're
strike.
These guys
Lorenzo knows what I'm talking about.
I've heard creep
say like a
this
monster
is a
right
good
now.
Strategy.
Oh, God.
If you've ever seen that XKCD comic about nice guys, I can't remember which number it is, but this is pretty much the story where the person that you're attracted to is in a vulnerable situation, like someone's just died or they figured out like the latest episode of their favorite TV show was canceled or some...
That's about equivalent.
No more Glee! And just something that leaves them completely distraught, and you use that moment to be there for them so they'll sleep with you.
That's right.
And while that may work in the short term, maybe, it kind of makes you look like a gigantic creep in the long term. And it might not even work in the short term. They might be like, what the hell are you doing if you... don't know them very well, or they're just not that kind of person, it's not going to work very well for them.
Real fun story to tell the kids, too,
about
how you guys met. Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, she was crying in the corner of the bar, and I just
Uncle Louie, he just passed.
Mom was pretty broken up, so, Daddy swooped in for the... Let's move on.
I like that in Back to the Future, like, that's what it turned out. Marty McFly's parents had a terrible relationship because it was born on... her pitying him when he was like hurt. She's like, "Yeah, I guess I feel bad enough for you. Mm-hmm. Let's just stick together.
Let's just do this thing." And if Futurama's taught us anything, it's that getting together with someone when you pity them is just as bad for you as it is for them. Mm-hmm. Come on, don't do that.
Yeah, and don't listen to any pickup artists who tell you otherwise, guys.
It's just creepy.
Just don't listen to pickup artists.
That's just a good bit of advice.
Yeah,
those aren't artists. They're just creepy dudes.
Yeah, they're just creeps who are also out to scam lonely people out of money too. Like number one, they're like a-holes who are like borderline like they're being very bad to women. Then second, that they're then ripping off sad, lonely men.
Yeah. To be fair, though, lonely people have a lot of disposable income.
I mean, they're not spending it on dates.
All right. Number one.
If you do everything right, you'll achieve relationship victory.
Oh. And a puzzle to be solved.
I actually feel a bit sad talking about this one because this doesn't necessarily come from a creepy place. You're just trying to do everything right so you secure this relationship that you really want. But it just doesn't always work because sometimes people don't like you.
Right.
And they're not puzzles. They're people, and they'll do irrational shit. Yeah. So...
Well, and that every... I think it's a problem in modern society that a lot of people dream their ode a happy ending. And they're like, hey, I went through the movie. Like, my life is a movie, and I've gotten to the end of it, and this is where I get the girl or the guy or whatever. And then...
That disconnect causes
issues.
Yeah. And I probably shouldn't use the term irrational because just not liking someone is irrational in the technical sense, but not in like it's not irrational. It's just a thing.
Well,
and someone's
it's not irrational. Like you can even like somebody but not want to date them. You'll be like, oh yeah, you're cool as a friend that I'll talk to every now and then, but. Let's not have sex.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, this does sort of fly in the face of all video game logic.
Like, yeah.
Everything
really
else
does.
In the game world can be figured out if you just do it correctly.
Well, yeah, and if you're the main character in the game and then a pretty girl appears in the game and she's the first pretty girl you meet, you're like, well, she's probably the only pretty girl, so I have to be with her at the end of this game.
Right.
It'll be weird if I'm not.
Mm-hmm. And it is kind of a sad thought because some very good people definitely do that. They struggle to do everything right, and then it just doesn't work out, and you don't know why. Because there's no reason. It just doesn't.
That's
just life. And thankfully, there's plenty of people.
Though I also think there are a lot of, quote, nice guys, unquote, out there who think they are being, you know, Seth Rogen in some movie. And they're like, no, you're a creep. Like,
you're just being creepy, bro.
Yeah, it goes a lot to, you know, the other six entries on this list. You know, it's like when I tell somebody, oh, like, yeah, they're a nice guy. Not like, you know, like a rapey nice guy, but like an actual nice guy.
That's an important distinction.
I hate that distinction has to exist.
He's not real rapey.
Not real rapey.
All right, let's stop saying that word.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry that distinction has to exist. But
you have to, as a female, a lot of times you're like, no, he's like a genuinely nice guy, not like,
you have
like
to,
the other kind of
hashtag
nice,
2015.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, folks. Not like the other kind of nice guy. Like
world
he's,
we
he's
live in.
Genuinely a nice person.
I guess it's really a bad inflection. Like, oh, he's a nice guy. And he's like, he's a nice guy.
It's like,
know?
There's a there's a very distinct difference in that slight bit of tone. But the happy thing, I want to end on a happy note with this. Even if you put all of your energy into being in a relationship with someone and it doesn't work out, there are lots of other people, and one of them, maybe more, will probably like you. So keep trying. Math doesn't always work, but relationships can without math.
All right. So yay! I hope that top seven helped you guys with your love life and you put these all into practice over Valentine's. Valentine's is a great time to go on a first date. Boy, it really
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's the worst.
It totally is.
Yeah. Too much pressure on Valentine's
the best,
Day.
Actually, the best time is like immediately post-Valentine's. And you're like, all right, I'm safe. Don't have to get any Valentine's gifts. Now think about that. You're safe for a while.
I actually asked just a friend, like literally a friend, to just like, hey, do you want to go out and get lunch on Saturday? Oh, shit, it's Valentine's Day.
No, forget it.
Was like last year. And she's like, no, I'll totally go out with you. I'll go out with you. I'll leave my boyfriend to do whatever. I hate Valentine's Day. I'm like, this is weird.
Anybody think you were a gay couple?
Probably. I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I wasn't looking around.
Yeah, I'm saying like the
you didn't quiz didn't people mention. Just like as they walk by.
Well, thankfully, there was no waiter.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Just real quick.
Yeah, do we look? Sorry. Anyway.
Can you fill out this questionnaire?
It would not be the first time that someone mistook me for a lesbian.
Like,
so whatever.
Portia de Rossi or WNBA.
Like, I'd be like, shoot. It's references. Like, okay, if I say yes, do we get like an ice cream or?
Do we get a free slice of cake or something?
Then yes.
All right. That's it for the top seven Woo! Segment. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the current events, including a crap load of reviews, like a whole hell of a lot of them.
So many.
Radio Radar is brought to you in part by Audible.com, where you can download audiobooks like Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter, and Ready Player One. Download a free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/gamesradar.
And we're back for the current events segment.
Oh my God.
Lorenzo can cut his own version if he wants.
All right. So, yeah, the current events. There was some news this week that was interesting. Quickly, there was Just Cause 3 had a new trailer, and it's out holiday 2015. I still personally doubt this because I love the Just Cause games, and I think the developers are really underrated. But they're also working on a Mad Max game that is apparently coming out this year also. So with both of those games existing, like, I can't see them shipping two games this year. One of those will have to go. And Mad Max, you got to think it'll come out next to the Mad Max movie, right?
Yeah.
That's the one that's definitely the...
That movie looks real awesome. Like, that trailer looked awesome.
That one's a little more time-sensitive, basically.
That trailer looks so... I just want to talk about the trailer real quick. The trailer was so cool because it was like... It didn't have any obvious CG. I'm so sick of like CG for every fucking action in movies. And this look in the trailer, if it was CG, they hit it well. It looked like, no, that's how an actual car would explode. Not how somebody would guess animating an exploding car would do, but like there's real feel of gravity to it and reality to like the fire just exploding everywhere. Although Charlize Theron looks really cool in it too.
And Tom Hardy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, though he looks a bit well. I mean, Mad Max is a dingy character, so he's not looking his hottest.
Tom Hardy,
saying.
Tom Hardy's always hot. Yeah. I mean, even when he's got the mask on,
well,
still hot.
No, you didn't. I mean, if you Bronson, he's goes full Monty in Bronson.
Ooh,
yeah,
he's a little too harsh in Bronson for me. Did any of you guys see the what was that Guy Ritchie film he was in? The one few people like. Oh, Real Rock and Roll, Rock and Rolla. That was it, which is really good, like underrated Guy Ritchie film. But anyway, Tom Hardy plays like this gay gangster, and it's really fun. And Idris Elba's in it too; he's great. Like,
Yeah. Max has a very strange look on his face.
It's a real, like, it's a real bunch of British cheesecake.
Right?
Yeah, Gerard Butler, yeah.
Gerard Butler's real cute in that, too.
I can't.
Okay, let's move on.
Oh, and Mark Strong, too. Like, every handsome British person is
in that film. And what's this one American actor I'm thinking of? He was in something with Tom Hardy. He's very attractive. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Okay.
All right. Got it.
Wow.
That in something, you mean The Dark Knight?
I meant Inception, but...
They're a lot of stuff together. All right. But another news thing that I actually forgot to put on the notes here was just call me mean-spirited, but I'm having a nice little laugh at the implosion of Peter Molyneux right now.
Aww.
I mean, it's his own doing.
Find joy in
I don't want to call
brothers.
Anybody a scam artist. But Peter Molyneux.
He's a snake oil salesman.
Just stop.
Sure.
I'm not going to call anyone a scam artist. Next on our list.
But, right.
He sells dreams, Henry. Dreams.
Yeah, just like the guy in The Music Man. He sells, comes to town like, oh, you guys got to buy all these trombones. Same deal with him. Like, all right, so like Peter Molyneux, like I've never been a believer in Molyneux. Like when he made games that impressed people, I wasn't playing his games. I didn't play Populous back in the day and all that old stuff. And his first game I played of his was Black and White, which I played because I heard all these things like, oh, the AI is so amazing. And they'll start discovering fire and stuff, and they'll just start doing these things you have no idea they do. I'm like, no, it's just a godsim game, not that good a one. Like,
ouch.
That was my feeling on it. And then Fable as well. I was like, wow, Fable. I'm so looking forward to playing this hardcore RPG that'll do these amazing things on my Xbox. And then I play like, man, it's like half what he said it would be.
Yeah.
Fable 2 was his closest thing to a great game. Fable 2 was pretty great. But,
it was a good game.
But then, like, basically the last 8 years have just been him promising things that don't exist and never come true. Like, Milo, you remember Milo? Is just,
oh, yeah.
Milo will be the most amazing. It'll really spread the Kinect to everywhere. It'll show you can fall in love with a child.
Yeah. What?
Well, be welcome, Peter,
I've never even heard of
you
this.
You never heard of Milo?
You didn't hear about Milo?
No.
Oh, wow.
So Milo,
what the hell is this?
Milo was one of the first demos for the Kinect. And I remember hearing from people who, like, got a private demo of Milo. They're like, no, this is all fake. Like, there's a guy behind the, literally a guy behind the curtain who is faking Milo's reactions to you. But they're like, oh, no, but he'll really do it when he sees you can react in the real Kinect. Mm. And then what Milo was sort of became Fable Legends, which was not Fable Legends, Fable the Journey.
Fable the Journey, yeah.
Which was like trash on wheels. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
It was literally on wheels. But, yeah.
Literally on wheels.
Milo was supposed to be... like your imaginary friend who was on your TV who would react to you.
Poltergeist?
God.
No, he was just a nice English boy that lived in the green, like,
yeah,
wooded areas of England.
Throw rocks into lakes and, like, spin a stick in the water. And
that sounds about that sounds about as fun as Hey You Pikachu.
Yeah.
It pretty much was that for Kinect. And it was also another one of those early Kinect demos that made you think Kinect could do things that it never could. Mm-hmm. Like, original Kinect couldn't do shit. Like, current Kinect can almost do what Milo said it could do. So there's that. And then Molyneux quit Microsoft. He had been the head of Microsoft Game Studios in England, who I also, like, I want to blame him for Rare becoming trash because he was technically their boss. And
if
Rare,
he did that, holy shit. I would be so angry.
So then he quit. And then he started his new company, 22 Cans, and he did this thing called Cubed, which was just this iOS app about tapping cubes, though he talked it up.
Wasn't
as
that
like,
Curiosity?
Oh, sorry, Curiosity, yeah. But an iOS app.
It was Cubed, whatever.
It was an iOS app about tapping cubes. The winner of that app still hasn't even gotten anything. Like, he still hasn't got a shit. He bought, like, three years ago.
It's been 2 years. Yeah.
And so now we come to, he started Kickstarter for Goddess, and in Peter Molyneux fashion, promised a lot of big things.
Mm-hmm.
This time, not to just people who might buy his game, but people who invested in his game and gave him money. And
you really don't want to shit on your investors.
Yeah.
And so they put out a
They'll take your hands.
they set out an early release version of it, and wasn't that great, and was missing a lot of features that were promised in the Kickstarter. And there were, like, now these very, like, desperate videos from the people behind the scenes with Molyneux, like, I'm technically almost working for free to make this, but I'm trying to give you guys what they want. Well, meanwhile, Molyneux's like, well, I have this new idea. I'm moving on to this. Like, no, you can't. can't do that, man. So, and now he's just been giving these interviews where people are finally like calling him out, like, no, you didn't do this stuff. He's like, I don't think I want to talk to press anymore. I'm not. Like, so I'm just hoping this is the final moment where we just stop listening to Peter Molyneux. Like, nope, you have to ship a real game before you earn our trust back to even, like, be interviewed. The only reason people would interview him now is just to be like, oh, yeah, you're falling apart. Like, you're a joke. Like, let's laugh at this joke.
And that's the thing, to like, just phrasing it like that. Like, I don't want to talk to the press anymore. It's like, well, okay, that's not going to change anyone's mind.
Also, I think that will just be another promise Peter Molyneux does not keep, because he will totally talk to the press again.
I mean, once he needs to promote. Like, that's the thing, too. It's like, I'm not going to talk to the press. Okay, then who's going to promote your game? Mm-hmm. It's not going to – you're losing fans rapidly here.
So I did, in a pro-Molyneux statement – I read this great profile of him written by Ian Bogost for Gama Sutra that pointed out that, like, that he really is like a dreamer, and that's something special, and that he, like, is trying to do stuff with games that so many few other people are even trying. And so it's nice that he tries. I agree. Like, I wish more people in games tried as much as him, but got to finish it. Like, at some point, you have to make something. You can't just keep saying what you're going to do.
I feel like, and I think you and I were discussing this, I feel like Molyneux and Ken Levine are very similar in that they have so many ideas and so crazy and they're so creative and you really want to see the stuff they make, but they need someone to come in and be like, okay, cut all this, finish it up here, to actually make something good and deliverable.
Well, also in Molyneux and Levine's defense, making games is like, there is no auteur to games. Like, they're the names on their game and they're the directors in them, but like, so many people make a game that there's really no way you can just say like, oh, yeah, the good or bad of this game is all this guy. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just point it all to them. So many people make a game.
That's very true. And I think it just says you definitely need the full gamut of people. You need the creative types and you need the business types, and they need to work together.
All right. Now, lastly in the news, new 3DS is out this week, and if you guys are super confused about how to transfer your old 3DS system to your new one, I do not blame you. And I did my best to write a guide to how to transfer 3DS. So check that out on the site. It's how to transfer 3DS to new 3DS. And I felt like I was going crazy as I wrote it, because it was just so stupidly complicated.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
The machine was gaslighting you, it sounds like. It's like, nothing's going on. What are you talking about? This is exactly how it's supposed to go. You're crazy.
Well, when you find out how he, like, on PSN, if you were to buy a new Vita, you'd immediately, like, you'd instantly transfer it. You just sign into your PSN account and start downloading shit.
Yeah, I read through your guide, Henry, and I got tired just reading it.
Yeah. Like, and I trimmed it down as best as possible. Like,
it's so crazy.
It really is just like, go through four menus, then press this button. Then four other menus on the other 3DS, then press this button.
Then buy this adapter, then buy this SD card, and then
transfer it. And you need a screwdriver, for God's sake.
You need a screwdriver.
Meanwhile, transfer it to your PC, then transfer it to your new console, then open up your console.
You have to unscrew the system. Like, that's crazy town.
Meanwhile, the person sitting there is like, I'm four.
Yeah. Children, well, yeah. I feel like this is almost the last straw for Nintendo and this kind of stuff.
Or the poor parents that have to figure this out, to buy your kid the new 3DS and then, crap.
You buy him into the birthday party.
It's like, what is this madness?
Especially, like, for parents not in the know, it's like, I knew some parents who were going to go buy their kids 3DSs for Christmas. And I'm like, don't do it, because they're going to announce something new. So to do it, like, right after Christmas and then make it so complicated, dude, that's not cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I felt it was mean enough they put it out right after Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, and then, and even their description video is okay, but they leaked. Sorry. Even their description video is okay, but they leave out the most important thing you need to see, which is how to unscrew the back of your system. They just say, and remove the back.
Yeah.
In the American one, they don't show it. And, like, I feel like that's them covering their ass in case, like,
it's like, oh, don't
do it wrong or something. Like, and it feels like you're about to break it. You feel like you're about to break the plastic when you're taking it off. Like,
so you won't know the difference between breaking it and not breaking it until you've broken it.
Kind of. And then it just feels so weird to even see it off. Like, oh, there's the battery. I don't like seeing all these guts of this system. This doesn't feel right.
I never like unscrewing anything. If I have a bad controller, I just buy a new controller.
This is light years away from the Game Boy, which is like, pop it off. Like, get those batteries in there. Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're going to get a new 3DS and transfer your old system, need to read that guide of mine. And let me just tell you ahead of time, get a 32-gig microSD card. You're going to want it. Like, the 4-gig one that comes with it is okay if you only ever download, like, virtual console games. Like, 100 virtual console games will fit on that. But if you're ever going to buy a retail game, it'll fill up after 2 games.
Mm-hmm. Actually, just had to delete. What did I delete? Like Smash Brothers for 3DS.
So
I could fit Majora's Mask on there.
Damn. Okay.
Majora's Mask takes up a ton of space. Are you not on a 32?
No, I made the sacrifice. I don't know. I can re-download it later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get it. Well, that's the nice thing. You can re-download it.
And I figure I'll just play Smash Bros. With you guys in the office anyway. So.
Yay! Yeah, totally. Well, we'll just play the Wii version.
Well, yeah, there's I do think the 3DS one feels very redundant unless you're trapped in an airport or something. And even then you need Wi-Fi access.
Yeah. But.
You're trapped on Satan's airplane and you're going to be on the tarmac for 6 hours.
Yeah, then that's an okay time to play Smash 3DS. All right, I don't think there were any big previews this week.
Nothing that can
be published this week. So let's get into the reviews. The big one this week was Evolve, which our reviewer David Meekleham wasn't that fond of. He thought it was okay. He thought it was a fun shooter, but pretty bare bones. Mm-hmm. And then also like the buying system, like it seems so weird. Like to unlock everything, I read a write up. I'm like, oh, here's how you get everybody. Pay $80 here, or you play 60 here, 20 there. But anyway, you guys in the room have played more Evolve than me. What are your thoughts on it?
I feel like this is pretty fair. Like when I was playing it with a group, there were fun aspects to it. Like I actually had quite a bit of fun. I was playing with Anthony, Lucas, and Sophia, and we were chasing Lucas the monster around, and it was pretty evenly matched. So that was a lot of fun. But when it got down to like unlocking things and like the first person, the single player stuff, it was just kind of bizarre. And that's when you really started to notice like this area is maybe like less than a football's field sized area and it's not very interesting.
Yeah, the problem I'm running into with Evolve is kind of just, I don't know. It sounds really cool, but if you're playing as the hunters, you're kind of just running around a lot. And
that was something that struck me playing it on the stream the other day. Something I really hadn't appreciated seeing it in preview is just like you do a lot of. There's a lot of not doing anything.
Yeah,
there's in the game. Like as the hunters, you spend a lot of time just running around. Looking for the monster. The monster spends a lot of time running away.
So you're having trouble finding the
monster. So both groups are just not really doing anything until the very end, and then it's just complete chaos for a few minutes.
Yeah, it's a lot of build up because as the monster, you have to evolve 2 levels to get to level 3. Mm-hmm. And to do that, you need to eat a bunch of stuff, kill these animals, eat them, escape the hunters, and then go and pounce on them or whatever. And there are different modes, like the defend mode where you're already a level 3 monster, and that's a little more action packed. But the main hunt mode, which they advertised for, like the PR put out there, where you get to hunt the monster, and it really isn't that exciting of a mode, like Max just described.
Yeah, and it's
And you have to play. If you're playing the humans, everybody has a specific role, and there's no doubling up. So I would guess it pays. It's not one of those things you can just get like instantly matched with a bunch of people and have a ton of fun.
Yeah, and it's fun. I think the game is really fun when everything's evenly matched. Like you have a really good cooperative group of 4 hunters, and you have a really, really good monster player. If the monster player sucks, it's the worst game ever because it's just so boring.
You'll steamroll them right away.
You'll beat them right away, or they'll beat you right away if your hunter group isn't that good. So it's really like it's like meant for these top level players, basically like people that have practiced and know all the mechanics.
And they designed the single player that way as well, because I know I was just trying to like everyone else had gone to bed, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna like play as the monster on single player to try to get better at it. But the hunters were so good at what they were doing; they would find me like instantly. Every time I got away, they would find me like just as I was at my most vulnerable, and I was screwed every single time. Like I could never beat them, which is fine. That could very well mean I suck at the game. But I'm probably not the worst person at this game who's going to buy it.
Yeah, so big learning curve on this one. I think you're going to have to put a lot of hours with your friends into it. So
not the new Left 4 Dead we were hoping.
No, Left 4 Dead was way more accessible. You just run around with a shotgun and kill zombies. This is like way more complicated, and there's just a lot of like intricate things that you need to figure out.
I mean, when I was playing the game, and the other times I played the game too, like I'll be playing it and I'll think like this. Like, it doesn't feel super exciting, but I'm not sure why. So I was sort of thinking about that the other day. And in a lot of other first-person shooters, like, you're running around, and you're killing lots of little drone-type characters, like Left 4 Dead, killing lots of little zombies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're, even like in more action-y games, like maybe like Resident Evil or something, you're headshotting zombies, and their heads are exploding. And, like, every time you kill a little dude, you feel good. Like, I just killed that dude, and your brain, like, releases chemicals, and you feel good. But, like, in Evolve, when I'm playing as one of the hunters and I'm shooting at the monster, it's just like a damage sponge. Like, the monster does not react at all to you shooting him, and it doesn't really look like you're, like, doing anything to him. And then, on the flip side, if you're playing as the monster, like, and I was just playing as the Goliath, like, whenever I do the breathing of the fire or trying to slash people with my claws, like, I'm never really sure, like, is the fire, like, reaching the other person? Am I actually hitting him with my claws? I'm just sort of running forward and flailing around. Yeah. Like, there's just not that little bits of immediate feedback like you get in other shooters when you're just like popping heads on dudes. So
That's totally true.
It'd be kind of cool if there was some, and I know there's that that one mode where you go around and kill eggs and stuff, but I kind of wish there was something like where the monster could release drones or something and they were encouraged to do that, because then you could go around and kill little drones and it's like, okay, you're working up to killing the monster instead of just running around and whatnot.
So our reviewer gave it a 3.5 out of 5. So fair, but, you know, not
decent.
Not what we were hoping Evolve to be when it was, like, high on our list of most anticipated games of 2014.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sad.
But, on a better note, speaking of hunting monsters, Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate came out this week, and our reviewer really enjoyed it. And I played a little bit of it, too, so far, and I've been enjoying it, too. So Monster Hunter is always a tough sell. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always heard, oh, it's the best, Monster Hunter is the best, but you'll never really get it. Or, like, put in 10 hours, then you'll know if you like it. Mm-hmm. And you also, like, kind of need a group of friends, or, like, one or two, like, kind of Yoda-type figures.
It's a cult, basically,
it's kind of a cult. It's kind
cult of
a pyramid
of the
scheme.
Hunter.
Yeah, I'm just like, all right, so here's how you join Monster Hunter, and you're going to need to invest in some Monster Hunter gear. And this will be what you get. And then you're going to have to tell two more people about Monster Hunter. But 4 Ultimate is the most accessible they've ever made, but it still has a lot of weird menu-y stuff that it, like, always had. Like, it's a very Japanese game.
Yeah, whenever I played it, the devs came and showed it on the stream, like, once or twice. But, like, every time, I have no idea what's happening. They're really just telling me what to do. They're like, okay, you need to go to this box. You need to pick up this thing because the monster that we're going to fight spits a bunch of poison at you, so you need an antidote. And I'm like, oh, okay, how am I supposed to know that?
You need to sharpen your weapon. Well, that's the thing. Somebody's supposed to tell you, like they just did for you there. And that system works better in Japan, I think, because everybody plays it. So especially if you're, like, you know, a middle school kid, your other friends like, all right, come on, play Monster Hunter. Just come on this team mission with the three of us. And it really gets it can be played single player, but it's at its best 4 player. Like, those are the best times I've had at demo events where I played a couple hours of it just at demo events in 4 player modes. And not only were people leading me around of like, this is the direction the monster went in, you taunt him with this thing, and I'll jump on his back and stab him, and then you get ready when he falls down and hit him with your dual blades. And so you need that kind of conversation in person. The game now has, for the first time ever on 3DS, full online play. Mm-hmm. Never had that before because in Japan, online play is not such a big deal. They'd rather just play with each other in person. And that is the best way to play it still. But online's a little better than it used to be. Again, like, if you've ever wanted to get in on Monster Hunter, like, this is the best introduction it's ever had. It's the best, well, I was going to say best looking, but really the Wii U port was better looking. But it looks really good, and the new 3DS, like, upgrades it slightly. It runs slightly better. The camera runs a little better. It's not a giant difference. Like, it doesn't... It's not worth buying a new 3DS over the big difference.
It's got that nub functionality.
Well, yeah, though, if you have the Circle Pad Pro, it still works with that. So cool. You could use a Circle Pad Pro, and it just recognizes that little nub as the Circle Pad Pro, which is a nice thing in Majora's Mask 2. Having direct camera control in a Zelda game, like, for the first time ever, felt really good.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't have really to just press the Z button. Yeah.
You actually just direct the camera however you want to look. Like, that's crazy. Nice. A crazy thought. But our reviewer gave it a 4.5 out of 5. I think a deserving score for it. And it's still Monster Hunter, and so it still might be weird to check out, or it might be slightly hard to understand at first. But I think it's really worth a shot, giving it a shot. All right, then we had Super... these are the quick hits here. We had Super Stardust Ultra, which got a 3 out of 5, mainly because it's just... It's pretty much a PS4 port of the 2007 game Super Stardust HD. And that's totally cool. Super Stardust is a fun game. But they didn't seem to do much with it, even though it has the Ultra moniker, like, other than have it be playable on a PS4. And it has no cross-buy, which was a point of concern for the reviewer. Then we had the crazy long title, Ace Combat, Assault Horizon Legacy Plus.
Plus.
I think TV Tropes has a page about this.
I don't think it's even the longest one. Like, I think maybe the longest title I can recall, I bet there's no longer one than this, but it was Shin Megami Tensei, Devil Summoner, Rayquaza versus something or other 2.
Jeez.
Good God.
There's two of them. Yeah, there's a lot of anime games, I feel like, have long-ass titles.
Just crazy
like
titles.
Like Dragon Ball Z, Budokai, Tenkaichi 4.
So this Ace Combat game is not really a port. It's more of a slightly upgraded re-release made for the new 3DS. Like, it's another game re-released alongside the new 3DS. Like, oh, this has new functionality, including amiibo stuff. But, like, the old Ace Combat game for the 3DS wasn't great, and this isn't any better. So it's
ooh,
just kind of...
ouch.
And it apparently, like, looks... I think I heard it converted to, like, vomit, like, the screen.
Oh,
or it
Jesus.
It looked like puke was on the screen. I recall reading
wow.
that.
Ouch.
So maybe don't get that game, is all I'm saying. Though they gave it a 2.5 out of 5. I think it's like, nominally playable, but it's okay, though. Hey, maybe get the 3D Classics version of Afterburner 2. That might be a better flight game. All right. And then lastly, Total War Attila. Those Total War games that none of us play here. But
I try. I put a lot of time into
Total War.
Japan and even
Rome.
Yeah, even Rome. But I always really enjoy the strategy level stuff, like managing my towns and moving my... And then I get into the fight, and I'm like, oh, God.
Did you ever have
I don't know. Go forward. And, they all got killed. I don't know what to do.
Once.
Yep,
yeah.
All attack move forward.
Did you ever have any of those magic boats that travel, like, underground?
No, I've never had that.
The review for this, the reviewer gave it a 4 out of 5. Which is good. It sounded like it was just reliably good in the way other Total War games were.
I feel like
high
I'm,
production value.
I'm really going to have to step up my game, though, because I am legitimately excited for that Warhammer Total War game.
Yeah, that ooh. I'm really excited for.
Is that happening?
That's happening.
Well, dude, all these Warhammer games that are coming out, there's a first-person one coming.
I know. Like, so good.
You guys need to get to paint your figurines.
Oh, man.
We will. Be proud, too.
I'll do it.
We can have a figurine painting party, except I'll paint amiibos. You guys can paint
Warhammer. You guys haven't seen my Space Marines. I haven't brought them in yet.
All right, so those are all the reviews this week. A busy week of reviews there, and it's picking up because we're at least going to have two big reviews next week, as the previously mentioned Kirby and the Rainbow Curse for Wii U. I'll be reviewing that. Look forward to that one on Wednesday. And I believe Well, I think The Order 1886 comes out next week, so it'd be weird not to have a review of that.
Yeah, that'd be strange.
But that's all I feel I can safely say at this point. But anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, is the Question of the Week community segment with your responses. And we're back, and it's time for the always fun community segment.
Community segment on Radio Radar. We read your stuff if it's good enough.
Lorenzo's the cranky dad in Footloose.
Oh, you mean John Lithgow?
Yeah,
right.
That guy.
So last week's Question of the Week was based on the legend of the rumored Legend of Zelda Netflix series that's in a conversation right now.
Exciting.
It was
bombs.
What game would you like to see made into a Netflix original series? And I'll start this time with Juice Caboose said, I would want to see an animated Shadows of the Damned series.
Ooh.
Make it a comedy slash horror. Maybe get the same people who did Invader Zim and hire the voice talent from Shadows of the Damned. And there you go. I just want to see Garcia and Johnson together as a team. They were hilarious.
I am totally behind that. I love Shadows of the Damned.
Mm-hmm.
You did too, didn't you?
I love Shadows of the Damned. I gave it probably one of the highest scores it got on Metacritic. Like I was a big fan of that game.
Good game.
Sasquatch 127 says, live action Danganronpa watches high schoolers build relationships and then murder each other all because a creepy robotic bear told them to. Class trials and the drama there would be perfect for that classic Netflix binge watching. Which actually,
it'd be hard to cast all the body types.
Well, there already is. There's an anime for Danganronpa.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, I was not shocked to see there was an anime. Like, it is one of the most anime games ever. Like, it is so anime. I love that about Danganronpa.
I really want to play it now because nothing's really drawn me. But this description, I'm like, oh, really? So I think
Danganronpa.
Punishment says, I feel like Uncharted would be a good series. A new locale or treasure hunt each episode. Also, I think a TV series instead of a movie will keep higher profile actors like Mark Wahlberg from shitting up the lead role.
Oh, he's got business minded. I like that.
Smart.
Alrighty. EAC73. Wouldn't really want a game as a Netflix series, but I would like a show following esports. It can cover so many individuals in the scene of esports, or it can follow the road to some people trying to make it in whatever game they play. Kind of like how Spike had The Ultimate Fighter for those trying to get into MMA and UFC, but for esports.
It's like a made for esports.
I don't know how close we'd want to get to the people of esports, though. Like, I feel like, I'm afraid what we'll find.
You never want to meet your heroes.
Know, honestly, I've heard that they're actually really nice people.
Just be careful who you touch down on, because I've heard some things. It's like people who look perfectly nice, and then you dig down like an inch, and you're like, shit.
Yeah, the thing about Netflix is, I don't know. I feel like a live sports show. Anyway, it's not my opinion, so yay.
Okay. God says, I'd really like a Renaissance Fall of Man. I'd really like a Resistance Fall of Man series. I was always really interested in the story of those games until the third one, which killed it. The way the aliens are is a perfect blend of sci-fi awe and grotesque horror, especially considering that most chimera are just people, sometimes more than one, transformed into an alien form, giving rise to the anorexic zombies like Grimms that love to pop out of the big flesh cocoons and scare the crap out of you as they spread towards you.
That's a long sentence.
The unique weapons always allow for creative ways to approach combat, which used in a show would probably look probably look pretty cool.
But it's always weird to me people have like love or nostalgia for Resistance, because to me it just felt like it came and went and nobody cared. Like it just existed. Like,
the only thing I remember about Resistance is weird. I remember the only thing I remember about Resistance is that they for some reason combined the Bay Bridge and Golden Gate Bridge together to make a Red Bay Bridge, and I wasn't sure why.
Hmm. What? That's strange.
Yeah, I actually did a feature on it. You can go look at my feature that I wrote like a million years ago. But if you look, there's there's a scene where they walk out of their base on Yerba Buena. You can tell that's where they are. And to the left, you can see there's local. The Bay Bridge. See the Bay Bridge is to their left, but it's like bright red. And it's like, oh, okay. So you're like, that's clearly supposed to be the Golden Gate Bridge. So you know this is San Francisco, but.
All right. So the winners this the winner this week with is EAC73. That esports idea was thinking outside the box. I do think it'd be weird to see Netflix invest in a reality series. I don't think that's kind of their thing. But you know, everybody else named games. Something that wasn't a game. So, hey.
Broke the rules.
Send an email to RadioRadar@GamesRadar.com to claim a prize. Tell me what systems you have, and I'll send you something. All right. So, this week's question of the week was spun out of a conversation in office we had, which was Scott Michella, the very, very nice man who... I believe he's in charge of studios of our video
he's
team
a
here.
Video team lead man.
Yeah, Scott M is a really cool dude. Used to work at G4, and he is a big gamer, but especially of Nintendo stuff. But he wants physical releases of everything. And so, like today, he was kind of sadly like chasing around our mail the mail guy looking for like has Majora's Mask come in yet? Has it come in? I'm really looking forward to it. Like. And we were all saying, like, dude, I downloaded it. Like, and then Lauren's like, yeah, I just finished that. Like, boom, turned it on.
Yeah, check it out. It's right here. Look at it. I clicked on it.
And then he was giving us all speeches like, well, when your great-grandchildren want to play a game, what are you going to do? Load up your SD card? No, you should pull it off the shelf and put it in your 3DS. So I used to think like him and think like, all right, so the question is, like, are you done with physical releases? And I'll start off and say I kind of am, and I didn't expect to be that type of person because I, for a long time, took a lot of pride in all the games I had on my shelf and like, oh, man, I have such a deep library, especially of Nintendo games. Look at all. I have every major Nintendo release on the GameCube, DS, 3DS, Wii U, Wii. I got it all. And now it's like... Oh boy, it's a lot of clutter. Feels like a lot of clutter. And after Animal Crossing, I really missed the ease of just turning on an app that's on the machine. Like I should just be able to turn on the game. If it's one you're supposed to check every day, like Animal Crossing or Tomodachi Life, you just want to check in on it every once in a while. Just like hop in. But you want to keep a primary game in the game slot. If you don't want to keep changing out game cards because they're so tiny. Mm-hmm. And then meanwhile now, like everything's available day one as a digital download, and it's way easier. And you don't have to go out into the world and meet people or something.
I know. It's
the only downside is you can't resell it. Like you'll have nothing to resell. So if you paid $60 for Evolve and like in a month you said I never want to play Evolve again, you could take a physical copy to GameStop or sell it on eBay or Amazon or whatever. But that digital copy, you can't do dick with it. Anyway.
So then Henry, would you prefer a system where instead of owning games at all, you just paid a subscription and then had access to a library?
And no, I do like having a library of downloads anyway. Yeah.
I don't mean that as like to set you up or make fun. I'm just honestly curious.
Gamefly
what say
it up.
You?
I mean, I was going to say, I kind of view it as a short-term convenience versus long-term benefit. Like it is more convenient to go digital in the short term because you get it instantly. But I feel like in the long term, like, you don't know. Maybe those services do get shut off or those, you know, the way you can play that game does become obsolete and then you just can't enjoy it anymore and then you end up having to go out and get the physical one anyway. I don't know. I just really like having physical copies.
I think Steam really converted me because I've always been a physical copy guy. Like, I've always wanted it, the book and, you know, see the case and look at the screenshots and read all the little marketing descriptions on the back. I just always did all that stuff. And, like, having the disc, especially, like, the Zelda disc where, you know, it's special or the Zelda cartridges where it's gold and they would have like a cool 3D thing on it and it's like special and like you could hold it up and raise it above your head and shit. But like recently I'm just like I don't really care anymore, and a lot of the games that I'm into, like I'm playing Destiny a whole lot. If that game ever dies, it's going to die because it's not online anymore, and like physical copy is not going to make a difference.
You won't make it any more real or not.
Yeah, but, yeah. So there's games like that, and then like I'm pretty sure I'm going to buy like the next Wii U Zelda and have that be a physical copy. So I'm like in between still, but I'm really starting to convert to like going digital.
I feel more ready to buy a physical copy of a Nintendo thing. For some reason in my head it's like, what's Nintendo? It's special. It's not. This is a magical thing from the rainbow happy land. This isn't just some product I buy for a PS4 Xbox.
Yeah, it's like the happy rainbow dimension where Nintendo is headquartered.
I may be thinking of that because in the Kirby game, it's all in the happy rainbow dimension.
I was a tangible, like I wanted a physical copy of it. Mm-hmm. But having to say playing Pokemon by code is kind of amazing because I always had that thing where I would forget to save. I would put it in my bag and the stupid cartridge would pop out and I would lose like 5 hours of progress, a badge, and like 18 Pokemon. So it's kind of nice to have not worry about that for something like Pokemon. But then I go back and I see all my Professor Layton's and all my Cooking Mamas on the shelf and I'm like, I kind of don't. Nintendo, I mean, honestly, like you said, PS4, Xbox, I don't feel the need to have a tangible copy, but like for Nintendo, for nostalgic, I feel like they put a little more love into it. And
it is something about Nintendo.
It is. There it's is. Something it's about true. Nintendo, and I would rather have the physical copy, unless I've learned my lesson with Pokemon. Although I still have my Pokemon Heart Gold with the little pedometer, which will.
I love that pedometer.
I feel like I prefer physical discs, and it has a nostalgic purpose and a practical purpose. I like being able to just like pick it up and hold it in my hands and like pull at the disc and be like, ooh, so pretty, rainbows on the wall. But also, from a practical standpoint, it's like digital copies of games take so long to go down in price. Like, unless it's a free game on PS4 or Xbox One, it takes forever. Like, games will still be $60 like 3 years after the fact, versus if I go on Amazon, I'm like, I'd like to order a physical copy. $15. So,
I think
GameStop shopper.
Hey, I said Amazon. Amazon.
I know. You forced that.
I think on consoles, maybe thanks to Steam sales being so popular, I think on consoles they're getting a little more flexible. Like right now, just as a hot tip, guys, right now on the 3DS eShop, you can get like three different Atlus games for $15. And that includes, Shin Megami Tensei 4, which was a $50, not $40, $50 3DS game when it first came out. And when it first came out, I was like, well, this is a hardcore Japanese JRPG. Like, they'll never cut down the price. Like, Atlus always keeps their prices high. And now it's $15. So I think companies are getting more flexible.
They are. I think they are. But it's, and then also I would say there's more shopping around with physical discs. Like, I'm like, okay, so it's going for this much on eBay. How much is it going on for Amazon? I can be a little more clever about it versus just buying from the console maker or from the developer. So I like that. And also, maybe this makes me sound like someone who goes to the door with a shotgun, but I don't like the idea that when you like read contracts from Sony or Steam or Microsoft, basically they're saying like, if you like don't, if we want to, if we really want to at any point, we can just take this back. Like, it's not yours. We're loaning it to you. I'm like, screw you guys. I'm going to have my physical copy and you can come here and pry it out of my cold, dead fingers.
All right. So, go to the comment sections on this week's episode of Radio Radar, that's 126, and tell us your thoughts. Are you on going physical or digital? And we will read our favorites on next week's episode, and somebody will win something.
Woo! A physical something? Maybe.
So we've reached the end. I think we're all ready to go off on our 3-day weekend and enjoy President's Day as the presidents would want us to, by doing nothing. But hey, a quick reminder. Also, apologies for all the coughing on this episode. I'm sorry, guys. But quick reminder again, Lorenzo, why don't you tell them again about our streams?
Yep, we live stream every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 3:30 to about 5:30 in the afternoon Pacific time. So come check us out. Wednesdays we give away prizes, and thanks everybody who has been watching and been following. We love you. We've increased our followers by like 1,000, I think.
And we love all of you equally.
Well, and if you enjoy this podcast but wish you were watching us play a video game at the same time as doing this podcast, then you should be watching that live stream, guys.
Yeah, we pretty much do the same thing on the stream.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Except make fun of each other a little bit more, I think. Yes, at least that's what I do.
Also, be sure to check out First to Five series on Tuesdays. Me and Lucas playing wacky games and going on weird tangents
on the YouTube channel.
What was the most recent game you guys played for it?
Oh, goodness. I'm trying to remember, like, between what we played.
The last video was Mario Party.
Okay, Lynn, I won't talk about the one we just
recorded.
I don't want to spoil it. I was about to, but then I stopped. Yeah, it was Mario Party. It was that terrible Bumper Balls game. That's what it was.
I was sitting there the entire time. You guys were like, this game sucks. I'm like, that game's amazing. Amazing! I want to be playing it right now.
I remember loving Bumper Balls back in the day.
But I speak more of just Mario Party in general. That Bumper Balls game specifically got pretty hype.
All right, so check all those things out. Keep going to GamesRadar.com, and we'll see you next week. Until next time, Radio Radar out.